إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in Surah Al-Isra, he says, and we send down from the Qur'an that which is a healing and a mercy for people of belief. And the wrongdoers are only increased in their loss by it. This is one of the many places in the Qur'an where Allah tells us about the nature of the Qur'an. وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ That it's a healing for what's in the hearts of the people. That it's a mercy for the people. And here in this month of Ramadan, in the month of the Qur'an, when the Qur'an was revealed in the month when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every year would recite the Qur'an with the angel Jibreel and review what had been revealed of the Qur'an so far, and in the last year of his life recited it two times, with the angel Jibreel. This is a time of increased connection to the Qur'an. And a time to take advantage of that shifa, to take advantage of that healing. Because we've wronged ourselves so much throughout the year. We put so many black spots on our heart throughout the year. And now it's time to take that medication. Now it's time to come back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to feel that mercy from Allah and to get that healing power that we find in the Qur'an. So all of us, of course, in this month should have intention to take advantage of our time to get the barakah of the Qur'an and have increased relationship with the Qur'an. And any time somebody wants to benefit from something, to get the maximum benefit, you have to know what that thing has to offer. Right? Sometimes you can get accidental benefit from something. You just find yourself in a place where you benefit from what's going on in that place. But if you go somewhere knowing that this place has A, B, and C to offer, and you know that you want to take advantage of all of those things, and you plan for that, then you're going to be able to get maximum benefit. You know, it reminds me of some people, especially from older generations, when they go shopping. They don't just go and then look and see what's there and just start buying stuff. Right? They plan ahead of time, they get all their coupons together, and they know, okay, what is on sale at which store and which place has which deals, and they get that all together, and then they go all around to all of the different places and get the specific things from the specific places so they can get the maximum benefit and save the most amount of money possible. Right? If people have this mentality about the dunya, right, and can plan so much and want to know where are the different places that have the different type of benefits so I can take them, even more so we should be that way with the Qur'an. Yes, we want to spend time with the Qur'an in the month of Ramadan, but don't just say, I want to spend more time with the Qur'an than I do outside of Ramadan. Yes, that's good, but go above and beyond that and say, these are the benefits I want to get. This is what I'm trying to get out of my relationship with the Qur'an. Know what the Qur'an has to offer. The Qur'an has so much to give. But if we don't recognize what the Qur'an has to give, then we might forget to take advantage of some of those elements. Or even if we get those blessings, we might not recognize them and appreciate them. So, in this month of Ramadan, what we have left of it, Maybe we didn't take full advantage in the first 10 days of Ramadan, but there's plenty of time left. Let's go to the Quran, knowing what the Quran has to offer. And here, the beauties of the Quran, the benefits of the Quran, are more than we know and more than we can count. But here, we want to look at specifically a list of benefits of the Quran that we find narrated by the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who was one of the closest companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was there since his early days in Mecca, and one of the ones who was most attached to the Quran. Right, so many of our riwayat of the Quran in the isnad, they go through Ibn Mas'ud, and he was known for teaching the Quran to people after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this narration, some books you find it narrated as a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it doesn't have a strong chain of narration as a hadith, but it's definitely affirmed that it was said by Ibn Mas'ud, and most likely his own wording, but what he understood from the things that he learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Mas'ud, he says, "Inna hadha al-Qur'an ma'dubatullah." He said, indeed, this Quran is the ma'duba of Allah. And a ma'duba is a banquet, is a feast that you prepare and then invite the people to. Right? When somebody has a big event and a big celebration and they get all different types of food together and they prepare it and then they invite the people and tell them, come, take and eat from this food, that's a ma'duba. So here's a very beautiful statement to say, the Quran is the ma'duba of Allah. There's multiple layers of beauty in this metaphor. Because one is the idea of it's an open invitation. The Quran is there. It's been revealed. It's been preserved. And everyone's invited. It's just up to you. Do you respond to the invitation? Do you come and take from that which Allah has told you is there and waiting for you? But then also the idea of a ma'duba has the idea of there's so much that can be taken from it. Right? Like when you go to the restaurants that have the buffet and they have all the different types of food, and each person goes to those things that they want. Right? Those things that fit with their tastes. The Quran has so much to offer. And different people, they come to the Quran from different angles, but everybody finds something in the Quran that can be of benefit to them. So he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَأْدُوبَةُ اللَّهِ. Then he said, فَتَعَلَّمُوا مِنْ مَأْدُوبَةِ اللَّهِ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So learn from the ma'duba of Allah. Learn from this Quran whatever you're able. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ. They continues giving descriptions of the Quran. Indeed, this Quran, it's the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالنُّورُ الْمُبِينَ. And it's the clear light. وَالشِّفَاءُ النَّافِعُ. And it's the beneficial healing. عِصْمَةٌ لِمَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِهِ. It's a protection. But he qualified it. A protection for the one who holds tight to it. Who holds on to the Quran. وَنَجَاتٌ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَ. And it's a savior for the one who follows it. وَلَا يَزِيغُ فَيَسْتَعْتِبُ. It never goes astray such that it has to make an excuse for itself. وَلَا يَعْوَجُ فَيُقَوَّمُ. And it never goes crooked such that it has to be brought back in line. وَلَا تَنْقَضِي عَجَائِبُهُ. And its wonders, the amazing things that you find in it, they never run out. وَلَا يَخْلَقُ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الرَّدِ. And it never gets worn out, no matter how much you repeat it over and over again. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْجُرُكُمْ عَلَى تِلَاوَتِهِ بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ. And then he said that statement that's very famous, that we have narrated in hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because indeed Allah will reward you for the recitation of the Quran with every letter 10 good deeds. أَمَّا إِنِّي لَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ وَلَكِنْ أَلِفْ وَلَامْ وَمِيمْ. And then he said, I don't say, when I mean a harf, a letter, alif, lam, mim. I mean alif, a letter. Lam, mim. Lam, a letter. Mim, a letter. So this beautiful narration from Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, telling us about the beauties of the Qur'an and what there is for you to take advantage of in the Qur'an. So let's go back through and list what these things are that Ibn Mas'ud told about that the Qur'an has to offer. One, just the fact of the immense ajr that's there in the Qur'an. How much reward there is for reciting the Qur'an. Every single letter, 10 hasanat. Even if you don't understand the meaning, even if it's difficult for you to recite the Qur'an, you're not strong in tajweed, you don't spend a lot of time reading, so you have to sound out each letter. Even in fact, the person that's difficult, we have in a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has twice the ajr. Right, so nobody has an excuse. Nobody can say, well, I want to read Qur'an, but I'm not very good at it, so I'm not going to. No, if you're not good at it, you get even double reward because you have to put in some more effort in your time to read the Qur'an. And how much are we in need of that ajr from Allah? Especially in the month of Ramadan, when we're trying to make up for our shortcomings in the rest of the year. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَأَتْبِعَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ فَأَتْبِعَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ تَمْحُهَا. Follow up the bad deed with a good deed to wipe it out. So we have all of these deeds that we need to wipe out of the mistakes that we made outside of Ramadan. And one of the fastest ways to overcome all of those deeds that we've racked up outside of Ramadan is with the recitation of Quran. Just if you read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, how many letters are there just in that short statement? And then times by 10. And then multiplied by what Allah knows because of the blessings of the month of Ramadan. So we want to take the ajr just from the mere recitation of the Qur'an. But we don't want to stop there, because the Qur'an has more to offer than just the reward that you're going to get for reciting it. And sometimes if we only think about the reward, we don't taste the beauty of the Qur'an. Because we have maybe like the mentality of somebody that's trying to get their paycheck. They go and they do the work, but they say, I'm just trying to get through the end of the day so that I can get the paycheck at the end of the day. But they're not really enjoying the work that they're doing. Maybe they don't fully have their heart in it. So it's not just that we try to read as much Qur'an as possible so that we can get the ajr of that, but there's so much more on top of that ajr that we're trying to take that we want to get out of the Qur'an. So remember that Ibn Mas'ud, he said, فَتَعَلَّمُوا مِنْ مَأْدُوبَةِ اللَّهِ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Learn from this banquet of Allah. So on top of the ajr that we take, we have to take the ilm, the knowledge that's there in the Qur'an. And the Qur'an is an ocean of wisdom and knowledge that never runs out. Because the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. And the speech of Allah is tied to the ilm, to the knowledge of Allah. And the knowledge of Allah is infinite. Right? So we have this book that's been revealed to us, that's Allah speaking to us with His knowledge, which is infinite. And so you find that the meanings of the Qur'an, al-ma'ani tatajaddad, you find new meanings, extract lessons from the Qur'an after 1400 years of people reciting the Qur'an and people studying the Qur'an. Thousands and thousands and thousands of books of tafsir being written, and still we're finding new knowledge in the Qur'an, new wisdoms in the Qur'an, new lessons to take from the Qur'an. فِيهِ نَبُؤُ مَا قَبْلَكُمْ وَخَبْرُ مَا بَعْدَكُمْ وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ. In it is the news of that which was before you, and also what's going to happen after you. And it has the hukum, the decisive rulings for that which is between you. So we come to the Qur'an ready to learn. Can't come to the Qur'an thinking we already know everything. Right? Can't come to the Qur'an with our own ideas, then we try to enforce them on the Qur'an, and twist the Quran to meet what we want it to mean. Right? La ya'waj. Ibn Mas'ud says it never becomes crooked. We can't twist the Quran to fit us. We have to change to fit the Quran. We have to come to learn from the Quran. Then Ibn Mas'ud, he said, it's hablullah. It's the rope of Allah. Right? And what is a rope? It's something that connects two or more things. Right? So when the Quran is referred to as the habl of Allah, Allahu alam, it means that it's a source of connection to Allah. It keeps you tied to Allah. It keeps that relationship between you and your Rabb alive. Right? Because this dunya is nothing without your connection to Allah. And how is it that you feed that connection? How is it that you bring it to its maximum possibility? Through the Quran. The Quran is that thing that ties you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it brings to my head the image of somebody when they fall off of a ship and they fall into the ocean. And you know, they have the floating rings that they throw to the person. But they don't just throw them a ring by itself, right? They don't just throw them a flotation device, because that itself is not enough. Even if they're floating on that thing, the current could take them away and they be dragged off to wherever and nobody can find them and you can't save them. Right? And without the Quran, that's the way the person is in this world. They're just floating out there in the vast ocean. But what do? They throw them, that life preserver, with a rope that's tied back to the boat so that they can stay connected to the boat and they can reel them back in. Right? So the Quran, it's like we're out here floating in the ocean of this dunya, and without that rope that ties us to Allah, we'll be lost. But that connection, it keeps us tied and it keeps us grounded and makes it so that we can be safe. Then also he said, it's nur. It's a light. Right? In so many places in the Quran refers to itself as a light. وَنُورٌ مُبِينٌ. A clear light. That which brings clarity to things. Right? A light is what helps you know what is what, so that you can know your way in this dunya. You know, think about, all of us have had that experience before where we wake up in the middle of the night and we're trying to make it to the kitchen or we're trying to make it to the bathroom and the house is completely dark. So we're trying our best to get to where we're going, but it's very limited what we can do. So we have our hands out and we're feeling, you reach for something, you think it's the door handle, but it's actually the dresser or the cabinet. You take a step, you think you're going down the hallway, but actually it's a stair, and maybe you trip, you fall, and you hurt yourself. That's the way we are in this dunya, right? Without the Quran, we're walking around trying to feel our way through, but we don't really know exactly what's what. We don't really know what's beneficial for us. We might think, right, just like the person reaches out, they say, okay, think that's the light switch, but no, that's not where the light switch is. We do something, we think that this is something that's good for us, but then we realize afterwards, no, that was not something in my best interest. But when you have the Quran, it's like the light switch has been flipped on. Now everything is clear. Now you can see what is what. Now you know, this is haram, this is halal, this is sunnah, this is bid'ah. This is the way of the people of Ashab al-Jannah. This is the way of the people of Ashab al-Nar. Everything becomes clear to you, and then you can function in this dunya the way where you best can achieve our goals to be successful in this life and in the life to come. Then he said, وَالشِّفَاءُ النَّافِعُ. It's the beneficial healing. It's that which brings health to the hearts, the minds, and the bodies of the people. The Quran is a healing in all of these areas. As we mentioned before, the Quran itself describes itself as shifa'un lima fis sudur, a healing, a medicine for what is in the hearts of the people. Right? And one of the most dangerous things in life are the sicknesses of the heart. These are the things that can disqualify a person on the Day of Judgment. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah says, the day nobody's going to be benefited except the one who comes with a salim heart, a heart that's healthy, a heart that's in good condition. Right? So we have to remove the sicknesses that afflict the heart. Doubt, for example. Raib is a sickness in the heart. Nifaq, hypocrisy, is a sickness that exists in the hearts. Hasad, jealousy, arrogance, al-kibr, hubb al-dunya, to love this dunya more than the akhirah, hubb al-ri'asa, to love position, uluwan fil ard, to love to be put above people and to be able to look down on people. All of these things, they manifest themselves as sinful actions, but they all exist in the hearts as diseases. And so the actions that the people do are just symptoms of disease that's there in the heart. And the Quran comes to remove those diseases that are there in the heart, to wipe away those sicknesses. Then as well, the sicknesses in the mind as well, to give health to the mind, to help you to think in the right way. Because we're so easily influenced. Lots of times we get influenced by the people that are around us. Right? As the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Everybody's born in the right state. But then the parents, they turn them into a Jew, or they turn them into a Christian. They put the ideas in their head that then they see the world through those ideas that might be false ideas. Right? So all of us have to some extent had false understandings, false perceptions, false ideas put into our minds that we've been influenced by, and the things that are around us or the way that we've grown up. And then the Quran helps us to clarify those things. And then it goes back to the idea of the Quran being nur, helps us to clarify, helps us to know that no, this is not true. This is something, a way that I was thinking because I was influenced by what was happening around me, but I see from the Quran that this is not the way things really are. And then we know as well the Quran is a healing physically as well. Right? To use it for ruqya, to read Quran over yourself or over sick people. The Prophet ﷺ affirmed that the mere reading of Quran, because everything in your body is created by Allah. Right? So anything that's going wrong in your body is all things that are creations of Allah. And when they hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they're more likely to come in line and to, for the Quran to bring that barakah for you, that bring you your health in all of these aspects. Then as well, Ibn Mas'ud, he said, the Quran is a asma. It's a protection. It's a shield. If you hold tight to it. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. Allah says, the people that hold tight to the Qur'an and they establish the prayer, Allah will never cause their rewards to go astray. So when you hold tight to the Qur'an, it will protect you. Protect you from falling into disobedience of Allah. Could you imagine to sit in the masjid one day and to read 1, 2, 3 juz of Qur'an and then pick up and say, okay, now I'm going to go out to go do something that's haram. You'll say, no, I can't do that. I just spent this time reading the Quran. If you have Quran memorized, maybe sometimes you find yourself in a situation where you know you shouldn't be there and you feel ashamed in front of Allah. How can I be in this place when I'm carrying Quran in my heart? So the Quran protects you in that way. And then ultimately, the most important thing, najatun liman ittaba'a, that it will save the person who follows it. The person who follows the Quran will be saved on the Day of Judgment. We all know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Quran is hujjatun laka aw alayk, that the Quran is either a proof for you or against you. So the person that had a relationship with the Quran, they followed the Quran, they applied the meanings of the Quran will come on the Day of Judgment arguing on behalf of that person, saying, this person followed me, this person recited me, this was one of my people, this is one of the people tied to me, and this cannot be a person of the hellfire. Right? A person of the Quran, of reading the Quran and following the Quran, can never be a person of the hellfire. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us all to take advantage in this month of the Qur'an, to take advantage of the ajr that's there in the recitation of the Qur'an, the ilm, the knowledge that's there to be learned from the Qur'an, to take advantage of the light of the Qur'an to illuminate us in our understandings, to take advantage of the shifa, the healing that's there in the Qur'an, to make the Qur'an that tight connection to Allah, so we stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make it a protection for us, and ultimately to be a means by which we're saved on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha, astaghfir Allah li wa lakum. Bismillahi rahman rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salam ar-rasulillah. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اليوم أذكركم وأذكر نفسي بأنواع الخير والبركات نجدها في كتاب الله تعالى. والخير في القرآن لا يحصى، ولكن يحسن بنا في هذا المقام أن نستذكر بعض أنواع الخير في القرآن في هذا الشهر المبارك كي نستفيد منها ونقصدها ونتجه إليها في قراءتنا لكتاب الله في هذا الشهر. فختاما مرة أخرى أترككم بقول ابن مسعود في وصفه للقرآن: إن هذا القرآن مأدبة الله، فتعلموا من مأدبته ما استطعتم. إن هذا القرآن حبل الله والنور المبين والشفاء النافع، عصمة لمن تمسك به ونجاة لمن اتبعه، ولا يزيغ فيستعتب ولا يعوج فيقوم، ولا تنقضي عجائبه ولا يخلق عن كثرة الرد، فإن الله يأجركم على تلاوته بكل حرف 10 حسنات. أما إني لا أقول ألف لام ميم، ولكن بألف ولام وميم. أسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا تلاوتنا لكتابه في هذا الشهر، وأن يجعلنا من أهل القرآن، من أهله وخاصته. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن، اللهم اشفنا بشفاء القرآن يا رب العالمين، واجعله عصمة لنا ونجاة لنا في الآخرة يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين المظلومين في كل مكان، وفي غزة في هذا الشهر المبارك. اللهم اجعله شهر نصر لهم ورحمة يا رب العالمين. آمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. آمين. قوموا إلى صلاتكم.